If you've just slipped on in here and you're visiting here today, welcome. Kia ora. My name is Richard. That's right. And it's really a joy today to bring the Word of God. I'm particularly excited about the Word of God today. Who enjoyed last week with Pastor Chrissy? I tell you what, that was a great word, and I'm trying to get her up here more, I tell you. I'm going to have to start paying her, I think, to get up and preach and get some makeup money. But just isn't it good to have different speakers and different styles and different temperaments? And even though she's my wife, when she ministers, I often feel that sort of reassuring, gentle but firm kind of teaching. Did you guys feel that too? Yeah, it's crazy good. And then before that, of course, we kicked it off. So we've been hanging out in Kings, these First Kings and Second Kings, at the beginning of the Old Testament, and a guy called Elisha. He's an ordinary boy living at home with mum and dad. He probably should have been kicked out and go flatting, I don't know, still at home working the plow. And if you remember, we talked about burning plows, how he really did something very radical. He got the call up to follow Elijah, his mentor, and he just ditched everything. It was crazy. In fact, he burned everything, so he had no plan B. I wonder if you've ever done anything like that, just kind of gotten rid of any backup options. It's like God's going to come through or it ain't going to happen. And then last week, Chrissy was doing her, I was kind of waiting for a nice old track coming along there, this Men at Work or something like that, digging ditches. In other words, preparing and doing what God has promised he's going to do. Today, I really genuinely hope that this message blesses everybody. It touches every life here, but especially the people who feel overwhelmed. Today, if you feel like you're lacking time, lacking energy, lacking faith, it's really all a bit too much. You feel like you're drowning. I hope this message will minister to you. People do go through pain. And I'm reminded just in the last few weeks of the difficulties that people go through. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a coffee with a guy I'm reaching out to. He doesn't know God. And he indicated that he had gone through tragedy last year. And so we caught up with him and just wanted to engage with him. And he said, began to talk about he got a disease and he was out of work for 4 months, and that affected his income. The family were struggling financially. And if that wasn't, I was listening to this and all the implications of that, and compassion was coming out of my heart. And if that wasn't bad enough, then he said, but worse than that, my 2 teenage kids both attempted suicide. Not one, but 2. Not a packed suicide, but separately, a young man and his daughter. Because they had another little baby late in life and they felt like the little baby was getting all the attention and they didn't really count. And they both actually made serious attempts to end their life. I thought, wow. Pain. In the last couple of weeks, I've had a conversation with a couple facing immense financial pressure. They really don't know how they're going to make it, if they're going to make it. They risk losing everything. In the last couple of weeks, I've talked to people who are diagnosed with cancer in the prime of their life. Kids, grandkids, loving life, just looking forward to a great future. Being told by the doctor, you've got cancer, and the emotional stress that can bring on you, the wonderings, how long have I got? Is this really going to be the beginning of the end? People go through struggles, and if you're really going through a tough time today and it's all too much, then my prayer for you today is that this word would impact you in such a life-changing way. If we can turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We're going to look at a woman who is desperate. She's actually thinking about what song she wants to have played at her funeral. She's really at the very end of her tether. And guess who comes to town? Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here we go. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" Isn't that a great question? Not, "I'll be thinking of you. Good luck with that one." Or even, "I'll be praying." Prayer's great, but you know what? A great just heads up from me to you. If anyone tells you something really difficult going on in their life, you know the good way to respond? "How can I help you?" They might say, "Just pray." They might say, "Can you give me a lift to church?" They might say, "Can you give me a lift?" I don't know, but "How can I help you?" Here we go. "Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Except a small jar of olive oil. Just to help us get in the mood, I'm going to get the guys to run the intro video just to bring it to a start.
A widow about to lose her sons to a debtor was desperate for the prophet's help. Her last possession was a jar of olive oil. Elisha told her to collect as many jars as she could. Then God did more than she could imagine. Get ready to be blessed as we see God's ridiculous provision.
Wonderful. So here we have a woman. We don't know her name. Some translations say she's a certain woman. She is the wife of a prophet. Many scholars would say she's the wife of Obadiah, in fact. There's a whole bunch of prophets, and her husband was one of them, and he died. Now, back in those days, woman did not work, except, you know what? The one and only trade that woman did was to be a prostitute. Well, she wasn't going to do that. She had two sons, and to make it worse, her husband had a personal loan with Instant Finance. Back in those laws, back in the day, if you were unable to pay your loan, they could take your children as slaves. Now, the word slave there is different to what you might think about being shackled up and abused. Slave was more like a servant, but they came and they were like a house help, housemaid. Many of you come from countries that enjoy that privilege. I call it a privilege because you can't afford them down here. And so you could come along, and if they can't pay the loan, you can take the children as slaves until the year of Jubilee, actually, which is the 50th year, and it's a whole other topic, but it's a beautiful economy that God set up for the children of Israel. On the year of Jubilee, all loans were then paid out, or all loans were nullified, and everything went back to normal. She's there, she's got two sons, she's desperate, no means of income. No name, she's got financial trouble, she can't do her repayments, and the woman did not want to be, of course, a prostitute. It really doesn't get much worse than that. It kind of brings a little bit of perspective, right? I mean, can you believe it? In my life, my GPS has sent me to the wrong location. Can you believe that? That's unbelievably difficult to deal with, isn't it? What about when they make you a coffee and the coffee is just not quite strong enough? Don't we get upset about some of the smaller things in life? Or you know, you took that Instagram photo and you only got 7 likes. I mean, you sat there, you got the lighting right, you had the shoulders right, you turned, you pucked up the lips. Why do girls do that? Is it kind of thinning out the cheeks, or is it that kind of luscious, you know, Beyonce thing? I don't know, but why do girls do that? They try to pucker. only got 7 likes. You know, hashtag, you're so gorgeous. Oh, my life is over. It's so easy to get wound up about really trivial things, don't you think? Little things. I mean, I lose the plot when Netflix goes off, you know, in my house. Oh, there goes the rain again, or someone's banged into the transmitter up the road, or whatever. Why is our Netflix not working? Oh, have to go to YouTube, have to go to the TV. Got my phone, got my tablet, I got everything, but I'm getting upset. Why do we get so upset about little things? Some of us in here maybe are going through, maybe you could call them second-level problems. Marriage really is under strain. Maybe you've are worried about a child, as I can be and have been. You're really worried about a child going in the wrong direction, making really decisions that aren't good, and you know it, but they won't listen to you. Maybe you're going through that this morning. Or maybe you've experienced someone lying to you and betraying you. I mean, these are real problems, are they not? What about a financial situation that's straining you? It's maybe even strangling you. It's, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to go forward? What we really need is a miracle from God, don't we? If you are one of those people and you're going through significant need, I want to tell you today that I want to drive a couple of thoughts deep into your spirit so your faith would enlarge. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Who's excited about that? I'm going to give you the one big point right now. Are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? You might want to get your cameras ready for a photo. You might want to make a note about this one. The Lord may speak to you right now. Hey, Eugene. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. Now, you missed a good time to show me some love right there. Come on. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. The woman has massive need. And Elijah responds to her. He doesn't ignore her. He doesn't blow her off. He doesn't, you know, just leave her alone. He replies to her, how can I help? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all. Isn't it interesting? When you're hurting and when your back is against the wall, you tend to see what you don't have rather than what you do have. I don't have any money. Yes, you do. Can I say, in all my years of ministry, when I've tried to help people with budgeting, they've had enough money. They've maybe not been aware of their provisions with wins and other things, but a little bit of research, there's actually provision for people. Or what about this one? I don't have a spouse. I can't start a connect group. My house is not very nice. And we all know, don't we, that only the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come if you've got a granite bench top. Here's one for the ladies. Actually, it's really for the gentlemen. They walk into the wardrobe and they touch all their garments and they say, I've got nothing to wear. Sweetheart, you can clothe an African village with all that. What are you talking about? It's amazing how we see the need and what we don't have and we ignore. She said, your servant has what? Nothing. Did she have nothing? No. Nearly nothing, but not nothing. She said, I have nothing at all. What do you do when you don't have much? Here's some more things to take a photo of. What do you do when you don't actually have much? Number one, I'm going to give you 2 points. Number one, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Fa'amanu, you like that one, don't you? Stop waiting for what you want. One day, Pastor, one day. Start working with what you have. I love what Chrissy said last week. Everybody here can save money. And I thought, actually, honestly, I thought, oh no, some people are really finding it really tough. She said, everyone can save $1 a week. Is that what she said? And at the end of the year, you got $52. So I don't want to hear any that I can't save. Times are so tough. You can save. Just don't eat for a day. We didn't eat dessert for years. We couldn't afford dessert. It's a luxury. Because we prioritized other things like tithing, like homeschooling our children, like all kinds of things because it was a priority, you see. So stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Hallelujah. After Elisha asked her what she had in her house, your servant has nothing, except there's a small jar of oil. What good is a small jar of oil? Well, actually, in those days, olive oil was incredibly expensive. Why? Because it was rare. Very rare, but also it had a ton of uses. Here's a few for you. They used to use it for cooking. They would use oil for burning lamps, which provides light. They used it for medicine. They used it for moisturizer. All you metrosexual guys can get a little going on your forehead. I mean, there's no body shop back then at the mall, you see. They just used olive oil for moisturizer. They used it for making leather pliable, keeping iron from rusting. They used oil to anoint people for religious services. You see, it was very, very expensive and very rare. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little? Are you grateful about that? Hallelujah. We serve a God who's absolutely capable of doing amazing things with just something little. You think about how human life begins. Just last night, I was getting a little time with Amos, Nahum, Nimmo, and Isaac Klassen's 21st. And he started off very small. What God can do with something little is incredible. You know the story. There's thousands of people, and there's Jesus, and everybody's hungry, and the boys, the disciples are going, flip, how are we going to organize Uber Eats? This is not going to work very well. What's going to happen? Jesus sees a little boy with a little lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and it says that they multiplied it and fed everybody. And what's more, afterwards there were 12 basketfuls left. The leftovers was more than the original quantity because it was given to the hands of God. Thousands of the Israelites were stunned, paralyzed in fear as the Philistines were there across the valley looking at them. And up stood this big, great 9-foot man called Goliath, and he was just profaning God and taunting the Israelites. And out from the crowd stepped this little boy, David, with a little stone. 5 stones, but he flung them one at a time. And he said, how dare you talk about my God like that? One boy, no armor, 1 sling, a few stones. He threw those stones and he slayed the giant Goliath. He and Goliath saying, man, you can't hit me. I'm too big a problem for you. And David says, you're too big to miss. You see, you got to get a different spirit. You give the little that you have and you put it in the hands of God, He will do amazing things. Amen. He says you can take a faith like the grain of a mustard seed, man. It's a little seed and you can move mountains. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who's capable of doing amazing? He can take a staff, a simple stick, man, and he could go and split the Red Sea. What have you got in your house, woman? I don't know if Elijah said, woman, I just put that on the end there. Maybe it was madam. In fact, it wasn't English at all, right? It's a whole other language. But anyway, work with me now. What have you got? He didn't ask her, what do you need? He didn't ask her, what do you want? I want a husband. All of that crying. What do you have right now? What do you have? Well, nothing. Well, there's a little jar of oil. Right, let's give it to God. But it's all of God. That's the only thing between me and total desolation. My boys are about to be taken away. I can't afford for the repayments. That's all of God. Give it to God. Pour it out. Wow. What do you have, my dear friend? Let's stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Because God, listen to me now, I believe this with all my heart, God's given you everything you need to do everything that He's called you to do in the next season. We're waiting for something else, but God has given you what you have already. You know, a guy could be thinking, man, I'm not a very good provider. I don't have a six-figure income to look after my family. But you can be home 6 nights a week with your kids. Isn't that huge? That's massive, my friend. That's massive. Some of you might complain, I don't own a house now. How am I ever going to hold a house? Have you got a salary? Yep, save some money. You don't have to go to the movies and spend $18 every week. Do it once a month and put that money and invest it wisely. And you've got the ability to do stuff. Pastor, I haven't found my special someone yet. That's okay. Start working on your spiritual growth now. It's amazing how many people I talk to in this room are waiting for that person. They think they're going to be a super saint and they're going to be this and they're going to be that. But right now, they can't even read their Bible every day. You start working on you right now. You start thinking about financial, building your financial portfolio, the ability to provide for a spouse. Some of us need to work a little harder on our physical presentation. I'm kind of just being plain and simple today. Dude, have a haircut, have a shower, buy some decent clothes. Get out from praying all the time and commit it to God, but go and look after yourself. Take care. Begin to prepare now. Pastor, I feel spiritually dry. I need a big encounter, a supernatural encounter with God. My friend, you've got 6 translations of the Bible and a neglected prayer life. You have everything you need right now to do everything God's called you to do. Why are we waiting for some big outpouring from God? You already have it, my friend. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. He's preaching the truth. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Let's go back to money again. Do you know most people who win the lotto lose all that money? Did you know that? Because they don't have the skills and the discipline and the development and the know-how to use it wisely. Can I tell you, on the other hand, there's so many people that have been a squillionaire and they came from nothing because they learned how to handle little things well. If you're not tithing with the big money, you're never going to do it. Start tithing now. I'm focusing on money here a little bit. I don't mean to, but it's such a poignant example because we whinge and moan about not having enough, but in fact, if we give it to the Lord, He will multiply it like He did the loaves and the fishes. Stop complaining. Look at what you have. If you have good health, that is worth a lot. Did you know that doesn't matter how much money you got? When your pancreas shuts down, your liver's gone, baby, you are looking at death. You can't buy those. Health is worth a lot. If you've got a spouse, value them. If you've got children that are healthy, enjoy them. Thank God none of my kids are mentally retarded or what's the right word, disabled. Isn't that a blessing? I thank God that I was raised in a church that preached the Bible. I thank God that none of my pastors have fallen morally. Said goodbye to one of them on Friday, gone to heaven after 60 years of serving him, and just an incredible heritage. And I sat there and I thought, Lord, thank you for what I had. Thank you for what you've put into my life. Thank you for my wife and my children. Thank you that you live in my heart. Funerals and weddings are great moments to reflect on what you have, aren't they? And that's what I'm trying to do for you today. Do you have a small jar of oil? Are you willing to give it over to God and let Him take control? Here's the second thought. The first thought was, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. The second thought from this story is, we're going to offer God, or offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. First Sunday, we're burning plows. Last Sunday, we're digging ditches. Now we're collecting jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Now here comes the ridiculous request. Are you ready? Pour all into jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So he's saying, what's going on here is, trust God. Are you willing to, but I want to keep it. I want to do it my way. You know, my thoughts, my, just hold it. It's consuming. It's pour it out. She left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. Supernatural just kept it pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then, everyone say then. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he gave her some good news. He said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons will live on what is left. As long as there is an empty jar, God will fill it. When she offered what little she had, God was everything she needed. And that's how God works. When we show Him our faith, He shows us His faithfulness. As long as there is an empty jar, the oil will keep flowing. It didn't matter what color the jar was. It didn't matter what shape the jar was. It didn't matter what size the jar was. It could have been a honey jar. It could have been a coffee jar, milk jug. It didn't matter. The only thing that was required to experience the supernatural power of God and the provision of God was to be empty. Empty. How does this apply to my life? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, but we have this treasure. And if you go back to the scripture, it's talking about Jesus. But we have this treasure of Jesus. What does it say after those words? In jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay is referring to our bodies. Us. We have this treasure. You see, friend, God is looking for empty jars. God is looking to fill empty people. People who are empty of themselves. People who are empty of their pride. People who are empty of their greed. People who are empty of their own agenda. Everyone look at me. From the back to the beginning, get rid of your agenda. Get rid of trying to fit God into your world. Come empty-handed. Say, God, have your way completely in my life. God will fill empty vessels, but the problem is so many of us are full of ourselves. When we do that, He will fill us up with precious oil. Oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're empty and you're dependent upon the Lord, He will fill you. But Jesus teaches us on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. In fact, the person who only has God has everything. The person who has everything without God has nothing. It's a paradox of economy. You see, it's only God that will fill us and bring satisfaction. When we feel weak, He will be strong. When we're hungry, He is the bread of life. When we're thirsty, He is your living water. When you're hurting, He is your comforter. Hallelujah. Can someone say amen? When you feel like you're in darkness, He is the light. When you feel lost, He is the way. When you're unstable, He is my rock. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. God's looking for empty vessels. He wants to fill empty vessels. My dear friend, all I offer you today is God. He's worth a whole lot more than money. He's more precious than that spouse you so desperately want, that job you want. You can't run away from Him. You can go and jump on a plane and live in a different, change all your world, change all your environment, but you'll still be the same person because the condition of the heart goes with you. It's God. Only God will satisfy. And I honor that nameless woman. He said, obeyed the prophet, acknowledged the man of God, and she poured it out. And she poured it out, and the only thing that stopped the oil was her ability and her capacity to hold it. Are you empty today? Do you need to God? I ask God to fill you. Here's what I want to do. Come on up, singers, everybody. We're going to go back to that song, Safe. And I want to encourage us all in this place. Please don't disengage. Please don't check social media. This is a moment in your own heart through this song to empty ourselves. And I'm believing today for us as a people to say, God, get rid of my greed. Please remove the pride. Please remove the lust. Please remove, Lord, take everything out of me so I can be a complete open vessel, that I can be used by you, filled by you. Take me to a new place. Set me on fire. Do something in my heart, Lord. I'm a desperate man. I'm a desperate woman. No longer do I want to play church anymore and Christianity anymore. I want to know you intimately, powerfully, really, personally, deeply. Now, God, change me. Or are you going to settle for a lukewarm, putrid, vomiting Christianity, my friend? That's strong language, but it's biblical language. Jesus says, be hot or cold or spew out of my mouth. The compassionate, loving God says it. Friend, this thing only really works when it's fully God. Empty of ourselves. Why don't we stand to our feet? I pray that you've caught the heart and the spirit of this. Now here's the thing. If you are going through a particularly difficult situation, I mentioned before, whether it's finance or health or relation, and particularly on all of us to present ourselves empty vessels, say, God, would you change me, shape me? But if you are going through a particularly difficult season, a particularly strong challenge, during the song, I invite you to come down here. We're going to get the Connect leaders to pray with you. You may not even know God today. We want to pray with you that you would know God. Hallelujah. And if the Connect group leaders come down, when they come, ask them, are you right with God? It all begins with a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? That's where it begins and ends. It's all about Jesus. He was empty on the cross, stripped even of his clothing. He stood there naked that we could be filled. Incredible. Such generosity. Such undeserved favor. It's called mercy and grace. Let's begin to sing, team. Come on. Let's begin to empty ourselves and just pray that prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit deep in the hearts of every one of us. Lord, that you would supernaturally perform surgery in our hearts, and you would accurately and decisively, yet with grace, that you would remove any idol in our heart. That anything that has set itself up above you in our hearts, every created thing, we command it by the name of Jesus to surrender and yield. Open our eyes that we would see the emptiness of everything this world offers except for Thee. Lead us, we pray, out of darkness into that place, God, of intimacy with You. Do something in our hearts, Lord, that only You can satisfy. You are the light of the world. You are the truth and You're the way. And we know it's so, but this world has a way of drawing us into its vices and drawing us away from You. And we cut it off today. And Lord, I pray that a mighty harvest of disciples will be birthed in this very building, Lord. I pray today, Lord, there will be decisions made for wholehearted following of You. We know in so doing that You will take care of those desires in our hearts. We commit everything to You, God. Everything. We come to You empty, in desperate need, a wretched sinner, in desperate need of You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Amen. Just say thank You to the Lord. Lord, thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You for Your goodness in my life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is good. Come on, why don't you take your seat quickly? Praise the Lord.